Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, July 24th. Good morning and welcome to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond, wherever you may be on this Monday morning, listening to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's always good to be with you to start your work week, so welcome aboard. You can send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. I want to bring in our Morning Air team. Once again, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines this hour here on this Monday morning?
Twitter has a new logo. Elon Musk getting rid of the bird. The owner of the social media platform made that announcement with a pair of tweets yesterday. Fast forward to today, it's a new black and white X logo that users will see. It'll point folks to Twitter.com. That rebranding coinciding with the fact Twitter officially changed its business name to X Corp after Musk bought the company back in October.
So we can say bye-bye, birdie.
I guess you could, but Anne Margaret already did, so I don't know if we need to let her do it.
All kinds of questions, guys. Are we still going to call them tweets? You know, when we write something on this new version of Twitter.
You know, John, that sounds like something that's right up your alley to rename catchy catchphrases. So you work on that, and then just let us know what we're going to call it. Okay.
I honestly I'm not quite so sure. So we'll figure it all out here, and I'm sure that it'll all come together in the upcoming days. And after all, Elon Musk is the SpaceX guy, so that's why I'm sure he decided to go with the black and white X logo to replace the longtime favorite little blue bird.
No, what if it was actually you had to type in a space and then X?
Oh, you know, there you go.
There, I get SpaceX.
SpaceX, I love it.
I don't know. Other people are paid to figure that out, but yeah. Anyway.
What do we know? Hey, we're just a morning show team.
Yes. Well paid guys, but now they're getting another honor, heading to the Hall of Fame. A couple new Hall of Fame members for baseball, John.
Yes, a couple of new members. First baseman Fred McGriff and third baseman Scott Rowland. Each one of these guys was inducted into the Cooperstown Hall of Fame yesterday. McGriff joins the Hall after being elected unanimously by the Contemporary Baseball Era Committee. McGriff won the World Series title with the Braves back in 1995. He was a five-time All-Star, tremendous hitter. Rowland helped the St. Louis Cardinals capture the 2006 World Series. Tremendous defensive third baseman and a really good hitter as well. He becomes the 12th Hall of Famer to feature a St. Louis Cardinals logo on his Hall of Fame plaque, Glenn.
Yeah, Cardinals, quite the storied franchise there. And kind of sad there's no American League guys going in this time, but maybe next year.
Although, didn't McGriff play in the American League for a while?
Yeah, I'd have to dig out his baseball card there.
Yeah, not 100% sure of that one. One thing we do know is that today is National Tell an Old Joke Day, Sarah.
Oh, it surely is. And man, I've been waiting all morning to tell some of these horribly old jokes that are still classically fun. So are you guys ready to hear some jokes?
Ready.
Always.
Okay, here we go. Always. Okay, well, maybe in the middle of the show I can pop out another. Okay. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, there you go. Okay, and what did Blackbeard say when he turned 80 years old? I'm 80. Oh, there we go. That's a little pirate accent. Sorry about that.
Time for you to walk the plank.
Woo, sorry about that one. But, you know, did you ever hear that rumor about the butter? Never mind. You know, I shouldn't be spreading that. Okay, there it is. Those are my bad old
Don't
jokes
you have some
for today.
Buttons to push or something?
You are just oozing in comedy this
Woo!
Morning.
Okay, here we go.
Very good, Sarah. What a great way to celebrate National Tell an Old Joke Day, as always. Thanks again.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Sarah and Glenn. First things first, we always start every show and every hour always in prayer, always giving thanks to our blessed Lord for all the many blessings, and always keeping in mind that every single day is a blessing. Every day is a gift, as a matter of fact. And we always pray through the intercession of our blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, last Tuesday, July 18th, was a very special day for the Dominican Order. It marked the 700th anniversary of the canonization of the great Doctor of the Church, St. Thomas Aquinas. The angelic doctor, as he was known, St. Thomas Aquinas, is considered to be one of the greatest theologians of all time. His thought dominated Catholic teaching for seven centuries after his death, and he's arguably the most important saint in the order of preachers after its founder, St. Dominic. Aquinas once said, and this is something that I have never forgotten, the essence of the spiritual life is to cultivate a friendship with God. Joining us live from Washington, D.C. is Dominican Father Thomas Petri to discuss the 700th anniversary of Aquinas' canonization. Father Petri is the president of the Dominican House of Studies. Good morning, Father Petri. Thanks so much for joining us. It is a joy to be with you here on the show for the first time.
Thanks, John. It's a great pleasure to be here with you guys.
Well, Father, there are several celebrations. There's three big celebrations when it comes to Thomas Aquinas. Can you tell us about these three different anniversaries related to the great St. Thomas Aquinas?
Well, you know, St. Thomas's life, everything seems to go in 50-year increments. You know, he was born in 1225. And so on January 28th, 2025, we're going to be celebrating the 800th anniversary of his birth. He died in 1274, almost at 50 years old. And so March 7th of next year, 2024, we're going to be celebrating the 750th anniversary of his death. And then he was canonized basically 50 years after that, on July 18th, as you mentioned, 1323. And so we just celebrated his 700th anniversary of his canonization. And the Holy See, the Holy Father, through the Apostolic Penitentiary, has basically decreed a two-year jubilee of St. Thomas. So anytime from July 18th of this year through January 28th of 2025, if you go to a chapel or a shrine or a church that's in the custody of the Dominican Order anywhere, I mean, even our chapel here at the Dominican House of Studies, and you spend a little bit of time in recollection, pray the Creed, the Our Father, ask for the intercession of the Blessed Mother and St. Thomas, provided you've done all the other three things that are usually attached to a plenary indulgence, going to communion, going to confession, and praying for the Holy Father's intentions, you can get a plenary indulgence any single day that you go to a shrine, chapel, or church with in the custody of the Dominicans, just in honor and celebration of the great Dominican St. Thomas Aquinas.
So for those of us who are fans of St. Thomas Aquinas, we can celebrate for the next couple of years.
Yeah, there's a lot of plenary indulgences to be had. And remember, you're only allowed one a day, but you can also, keep those for yourselves, but you can also apply those to, you know, the deceased, your loved ones. So, I mean, that's a good 300, 900 or so plenary indulgences, probably over 1,000 plenary indulgences if you went every day. That's a lot of faithful getting out of purgatory through St. Thomas's Jubilee.
It's a beautiful thing. And Father Petrie, can you tell us who was this spiritual giant, St. Thomas Aquinas?
Well, St. Thomas, you know, he was really a young man. His family, he was born into nobility. His family really wanted him to become a Benedictine monk at Monte Cassino, which is the abbey founded by St. Benedict himself. In the 13th century, it had a lot of political clout, that monastery. And he came across the preaching of some of the early Dominicans. The Dominican order was founded in 1216. He was born in 1225, as I said. And sometime in the early 1240s, he came across the Dominicans and he wanted to become a Dominican, which was really just a ragtag upstart at the time. His parents were not really thrilled with that decision. His mother sent his brothers to kidnap him so he could not join the Dominicans, and they locked him in the family tower. It was only after close to a year, they couldn't reason with him, that his mother finally relented and he was able to join the order in 1244. He went on to become really a charismatic genius, I think is the way to speak about him. I mean, his output, everyone knows about the Summa Theologiae, but he wrote commentaries on virtually every work of Aristotle at the time, several books of the Old Testament, most of the books or letters and gospels of the New Testament, a lot of works, just in dialogue with many of the philosophical thoughts of the day. And his thought, as you noted in the opening of the hour, has governed a lot of theology in the church, even in the modern day. Until 1983, with the new Code of Canon Law, every priest was required to learn the theology of St. Thomas Aquinas. And even now, his theology is heavily emphasized in most seminary curricula.
Can you explain how St. Thomas Aquinas was all about passionately searching for the truth?
Well, you know, a lot of people, I'm glad to use that word passionately. A lot of people, when they read the Summa, they see it, they think it, because it's written in a medieval disputation style, think of St. Thomas as dry and stale. But in fact, in the Summa, he spends more time on passion and emotion than any other topic, and which is kind of strange when we think about, all of the things that he could spend his time on. Although obviously, I mean, as far as a particular topic, although quite obviously he spends the most of his time on God, the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the sacraments. And so he was a very passionate man, and we have stories about him in his life getting very roused up by error and heresy that he was combating and arguing against. Because the most important thing for him, which is true of Dominican spirituality, is to worship God by knowing God, that the more we know about God, the greater our love for God grows. So for Dominicans, knowledge of God and trying to understand what he himself has revealed about himself so that we can understand him more and so come to love him more is in fact a form of worship. So for him, in the church, this is a common refrain. Faith is not opposed to reason. Faith and reason go together. St. Thomas would not know any sort of division between faith and philosophical thought and the pursuit of truth, because for St. Thomas, truth is not simply an idea. Truth, I mean, is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. He is the Logos. He is the Word of God.
As you mentioned faith and reason, I can't help but think of the great Pope John Paul II, John Paul the Great, who was highly influenced by St. Thomas Aquinas. In fact, his encyclical Fides in Ratio has a ton of quotes from St. Thomas Aquinas. Can you talk about how much St. Thomas influenced JP2?
Oh, absolutely. St. John Paul II, of course, is one of my great heroes and intellectual heroes. And, when he started out really being interested as a young man in the arts. He wanted to be an actor. And it was in the course, certainly, of the communist occupation of Poland that he came to discern his vocation to the priesthood. And he was, of course, taught St. Thomas in his underground seminary in Poland and admitted many years later, once he was Pope, in a very early interview of his papacy, that he really didn't understand St. Thomas early on. It was just very difficult for him. He was used to reading poetry. He wasn't used to reading this medieval style that St. Thomas writes in. And he told, it was a, I forget who the interviewer was, but it was a childhood friend from Poland. And he said that, but there was a moment as he was reading St. Thomas that everything kind of opened up for him. And he said that it was like stepping into a new world, and the world that he lives in, that we live in, just became all the more clear. His last published work, St. John Paul II, before he died, was Memory and Identity. You know, he wrote three autobiographies, one on the anniversary of his priesthood celebration, one reflecting on his time as a bishop, and then his last book, Memory and Identity, reflecting on his time as Pope. And in the very first few pages, he says, if we don't have the theology and philosophy of St. Thomas Aquinas to guide us in the contemporary world, we will end up in a moral vacuum of relativism and subjectivism, because St. Thomas helps us to understand the ontological or the metaphysical, we might say, nature of reality, and that reality truly is external of us, to which we ourselves must conform.
How spot on Pope St. John Paul II was. I want to invite our listeners, if you are a lay Dominican, or if you're not a lay Dominican, but you have a special devotion to St. Thomas Aquinas, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Father Thomas Petrie, the president of the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. You can call us at 888-914-9149 if you want to chime in. 888-914-9149. Father Petrie, in addition to Pope St. John Paul II, more recently Pope Francis also issued a letter in Latin praising Thomas Aquinas for his great spiritual and human wisdom.
You know, this is, I think we all were grateful, all the Dominicans were grateful for the wonderful words of the Holy Father for St. Thomas. I mean, everybody is indebted, really, to St. Thomas. And, you know, Dominicans and Jesuits, there's always a lot of jokes between Dominicans and Jesuits, but both orders, in different ways, and sometimes ways that converge and some ways that diverge, are indebted to St. Thomas. I mean, it was the Society of Jesus that really carried, in many ways, the thought of St. Thomas forward after the Council of Trent, after the Reformation and their counter-Reformation efforts. The Dominicans, obviously, were also very, very involved with that. So to have a Jesuit Pope praising St. Thomas is a great thing for us. St. Thomas was a man, you know, as we said earlier, very passionate, you know, and I would encourage people to read some of his poetry, to read some of his prayers. You know, St. Thomas is responsible. Pope Urban IV in 1264 is the pope who puts the feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, on the universal liturgical calendar. And he asked St. Thomas Aquinas to write all the prayers for that feast. So all the prayers that we use, for example, at adoration, the Tantum Ergo, the Pange Lingua, the O Salutaris Ostia, the Adoro Te Devote, the prayer that we say, you know, that the priest says after benediction, you know, about the body and blood of Jesus Christ, all of those were composed by St. Thomas Aquinas in 1264 at the urging of Pope Urban IV. It's a great legacy. And those prayers carried forward into the Reformed Missal of Pope Paul VI, the Novus Ordo Mass, as it's most commonly called. Those are St. Thomas's prayers.
And St. Thomas Aquinas wrote extensively about the Holy Eucharist as well, and reaffirmed our long tradition of understanding the true presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, something that is so needed and so relevant right now in the middle of this Eucharistic revival that we're living in.
You know, he's often credited for really articulating, you know, the theology of transubstantiation. He didn't coin that phrase, but his articulation of transubstantiation, you know, that the accidents or the appearances of bread and wine remain, but the substance of Christ is what's present and not the substance of bread and wine. It's his articulation that really is solidified in the Council of Trent that has been passed down to us. It is a mystery, transubstantiation, but the theology and thought of St. Thomas helped the church to identify exactly where the locus of that mystery is. It's a change from that is unlike any other change, both supernaturally or naturally. It's different than God creating the world, but it's also different than any sort of natural change that we witness in the world. And it was St. Thomas who really articulated that and focused our attention on where the mystery was, namely that you could have a substance present, Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, without the appearances of his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And you could have the appearances of a substance, bread and wine, present without the substance being present. It's really remarkable.
Well, I find it interesting that here you have Thomas Aquinas. He lived less than 50 years. He composed so many works. I believe it was at least 60, including, of course, the Summa Theologica. But he never finished the Summa. Can you explain why he never finished it?
Well, that's in the winter of 1274, between 1273 and 1274, he was already failing in health. He was on his way to an ecumenical council, and you know he was already failing in health. Celebrated Mass, and he had an ecstatic vision of that he never really described. All he said afterwards was that all my writing is just like so much straw compared to what I have seen, and that doesn't mean he was not. Rejecting everything he wrote, just that everything he wrote was like nothing compared, obviously, to what awaits us in heaven with the vision of God. He once asked in prayer whether or not God was pleased with his writing, and the crucifix spoke to him and said, you know, you have done well, St. Thomas, I am well pleased. What do you wish? And his example, his response was, non nisi te Domine, nothing but you, Lord, I only want you. And that, so towards the end, he just realized that his work really was finished, and there was no need to complete because he was going to see God face to face soon.
Father Petri, final moments. Love to get your thoughts on the wisdom and the clarity in charity of St. Thomas Aquinas and why it's so needed in our day and age and how we need another Thomas Aquinas.
Well, you know, we often speak of confusion in the church and in the world today, and that's really what heresies were in days of old. I mean, heresies really are born from just confusion and a lack of clarity. And St. Thomas was the master of bringing out distinction and clarity, but as you say, with charity. He never really pummeled his opponents intellectually. In fact, for St. Thomas, the largest amount of charity or the greatest example of charity was that he always helped his opponents to refine their arguments, even though he knew they were wrong, to make their arguments better, so that only after they had made the best arguments they could for their confused or heretical thinking, then he would show them why they were wrong, only after they fully understood and could comprehend what they were saying. And sometimes we need to learn to do that, like put ourselves in our interlocutor's shoes, in our opponent's shoes, and help them to think better and to do better, and then to help lead them to the truth.
Well, Father Petri, thank you so much for joining us. I so much appreciate your expertise and your knowledge of the great St. Thomas Aquinas as we celebrate the 700th anniversary of his canonization.
It was great to be with you guys. Have a great morning and a great week.
Many blessings to you. Father Thomas Petri, the president of the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by speaker, author, and faith coach Kendra Von Esch to continue her summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits. This morning, we're going to talk about God's grace and why we all need humility to live in the present moment. So stay with us. Much more to come on this Monday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I got my
Hope you're feeling good on this Monday morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us here to start your week on this Monday. It's always great to be with you on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As always, you can send us an email directly if you have any thoughts or any story ideas, anything you want to run past us. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may attain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that the spiritual life is like an Olympic event or an athletic competition, using the language of sports. Major League Baseball players prepare and practice countless hours, persevering to win the crown of a World Series championship. But as spiritual athletes for Christ, our goal is the crown of eternal life, an incorruptible crown with our Lord Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, all the angels and saints in heaven for all eternity. So I want to encourage you to run the race of life and run to win with our Lord Jesus Christ. We always pray with great confidence that prayer that Jew Mariani prays every afternoon during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. A number, if you want to be part of the conversation here this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we continue our Soul, Mind, and Body Summer Series on conquering addictions and bad habits. Last week, we focused on inviting God to our day so that we can walk daily with Him throughout our 24-hour journey. Joining us live from Chicago is Morning Air regular contributor Kendra Von Esch to talk about God's grace this morning and how we need humility to live in the present moment. Kendra's a speaker, faith coach, podcaster, and much, much more, who is passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation and spiritual experiences while helping others along their journey as well. She's also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you on another Monday morning as we continue your summer series.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Happy Monday. And I loved your prayer about comparing the spiritual life with an athlete. I mean, we really do need to pay attention, but of course, we approach it in a little different way. We have a little humility, which is the basis of all the virtues. I don't know about you, John, but I'm a bit of a control freak, and it's hard for me to let go and let God, because we just are trained by the world that we are the ones that have the power to do all these changes in our lives. Has that been a bit of a journey for you in your spiritual walk?
Humility is always a challenge, I think, for all of us. And, you know, just to remind me of, I'm literally pulling it out of my prayer book as we speak. I have a typed up printed version of the Litany of Humility, which if you want to be humble, meditate and pray the Litany of Humility. I remember hearing my buddy Drew in the afternoon talking about how he really doesn't like this prayer because it's so challenging, you know, the Litany of Humility. But, you know, I actually said it as a joke because we were talking today. I guess today is National Tell an Old Joke Day. And I said there's two types of people in the world, those who are humble and those who are about to be. So, you know, I mean, believe me, we all experience humility in our own respective way, in one way or the other. And so I think that that is a good topic to address here this morning. Hey, real quickly, before we get into humility, just a quick recap on a little bit of what we talked last week of, you know, our daily walk with God. You know, we only have 24 hours in a day. Can you give us a quick recap?
Yeah, sure. Of course. Let's start it with God. Some of us have time in the morning. Actually, if we make time, which is our currency with God, we can fit everything in, right? We make time for things that are important, just like athletes make time to work out to get their body conditioned and to be the best in their quote unquote sport. We should be working out first our spirit so that for the rest of the day, we can see God and pay attention. But prayer and the life that we lead in the 24 hours needs to be based in humility. Prayer is a gift. And when God speaks to us and kind of tells us what he wants us to focus on for that day, we should be so humble and so grateful. But then we got to ask God for the grace to do it, because he may be asking you to do something that you don't really want to do. For example, temperance. We all know that we're talking about the, you know, addictions and bad habits that we have. How many of us are asking God for his grace throughout the day to be in control of the addictions that we have, of the bad habits that we have, maybe even of the emotions that we're addicted to? Because it doesn't have to be substances. We're going way back to the beginning of this series, the 10 signs, and there's probably 20 signs of addiction and bad habits in our life. So yeah, that is really the basis, is the spiritual walk and the humility. But we have to love ourselves. You know, I mean, I woke up, this morning, John, got on that scale, which I do every day, because that's my way of measuring what am I doing. My life, my soul, mind, and body is not about my weight, but my weight is a measurement of how I am doing, controlling my body, controlling the food that I'm putting into it, making sure that I'm nourishing myself the right way, staying away from bad things like too much alcohol, and moving my body. So when I look back on my weekend, which I kind of wasn't paying much attention because I had a lot of gatherings and some unexpected visitors that came over, I realized I was falling back into my old subconscious ways. I mean, my brother came over, and when my brother comes over, it's crazy times, and that's what happened, and I just kind of went along like I used to, instead of saying, okay, Lord, help me be temperate, right? Like, help me have that self-control. Help me love my brother, because I guarantee you we're going to have some spiritual conversations, because he is not, even though he was raised Catholic, he doesn't believe in Jesus. He fell down this Buddhist path. So I knew that this was going to be an interesting time, but did I really ask God in to that day, to that night, to those conversations? I did sometimes, but not really 100% of the time. So I relied on my own self. I wasn't humble. And therefore, I don't know, was it me speaking, or was it the Holy Spirit speaking through me? And that's the walk, is paying attention, stopping and asking God into your heart. But then loving yourself, because God will rise to your eyes what you need to work on, which this morning it came in the form of the number on the scale for me. You need to get back on track. So if we fall off that path, if we have an argument with someone instead of a discussion, which isn't loving because we're not listening with our heart, we're listening with our mind. Maybe we're right fighters and we want to be right. I mean, clearly, I want to convince my brother, Jesus, Catholicism is the way, my friend, my brother, literally my brother, you know. But sometimes we just have to allow God to close our mouth and listen so that we can hear more about where they are coming from, and then allow God to speak through us. I hope that makes sense.
Makes total sense. And, you know, as we're talking about God's grace and the fact that we need humility to live in the present moment, I remember years ago going to a Relevant Radio retreat, and every one of the associates got a beautiful little holy card of our Lord. It looks like he's in the agony in the garden. And on the back, it's a prayer for humility. I just want to share this with you real quick. Lord, sure. Take away my pride. Make me humble. Let me not take glory in my own works, but always remember, and he's quoting from 2 Corinthians 12:9, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of God may rest upon me for the sake of Christ. Then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And those are the words of St. Paul. But it's a powerful, powerful reminder of the need for humility and that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen. And I remember reading that way back when. I didn't understand it in the beginning of my journey. Like, what do you mean power through weakness? Like, I want to be strong in everything. And when we allow God to take that weakness that we have, and he will work it for someone, right? When we do better, they do better. So if I had allowed God to work through me in those weak moments where I wanted to convince my brother instead of love my brother, and when I wasn't paying much attention to how much I was eating or all of that, just doing what my body as my mind wanted to do because I fell back into my subconscious ways, I would have allowed God to shine my weaknesses. Instead, so again, reflection is good, right? We need to look back and say, okay, what happened? So for me, God slapped me in the face with my number on the scale this morning. And so I said, okay, let me look back on my weekend and see what happened. And it wasn't just physical stuff, although I did not work out for 2 days and I ate pretty bad. I had probably a couple more glasses of wine than I should when my brother came over. And in the end, I'm okay with that because I'm learning. So my weakness is learning like a child and being okay with not being perfect, like humbling myself to say, God, show me my weaknesses and then make me strong through them by changing them so that I can be that witness to everybody else. So if I had said, okay, God, speak through me, I think my whole conversation would have been more calm, more peaceful, more receptive to my brother who was sharing with me. Instead, it got heated at times, and that is not God. So it's good for us to look back, but at the moment, we've got to pay attention. If I were living in the present moment like I should have been, I would have said, Lord, enjoy, you know, help me enjoy this time with my brother. Use me as your instrument. All I had to do was just say that in my mind or take a step away, go to the bathroom, you know, use me, please, Lord. Instead, I just said, hey, what's going on? And I became, you know, my old self. It's so easy to do when you fall back in with your family and people that know you really well to fall back into your quote unquote old worldly self.
Well, Kendra,
so again, it's that daily walk, right?
You talk about jumping on a scale on a Monday morning. I think we need a spiritual scale. And I think there's a connection there with an examination of conscience. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about that on the other side. We need to take a break. I also want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of our discussion here this morning on the importance of humility to live in the present moment and listen to the voice of the Lord. We're taking your calls for Catholic speaker and author and faith coach Kendra Von Esch at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Kendra. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
More of Morning Air after this. Bringing the light of Christ to start your day, this is Morning Air.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes,
I hope that bumper puts a smile on your face here on this Monday morning. Welcome back to the show. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation with Morning Air contributor Kendra Von Esch as we continue her summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits. And this morning we're talking about the importance of God's grace and how we all need humility to live in the present moment. Kendra, can you talk a little bit about the reality that we know that we should tune into God's voice, but how do we do that?
Well, I use the word reflection. Some might call it the examination of conscience. Right before we took the break, you had mentioned that. And
yeah, I call it the spiritual scale.
Yes, I love that, by the way. I might steal that from you. But it's true. We do need to know where we are in our spiritual life, where God is in every day. So unfortunately for me, in this case, I'm looking back on 2 days of the weekend and saying, okay, let's go through the whole thing and really kind of see what happened here, Lord. And I'm praying through it, by the way. I'm not just walking through it in my own mind. I'm saying, God, rise to my eyes. What happened here so that I can learn? And I'm approaching it like a child, not like a know-it-all adult. That's half of our problems. We think we know it better than God does. We have our timing. We have our ways. And once we let go, we can see what God's actually doing. But if I were living in the present moment, I would have noticed these things as the day was going on. I would have seen God or felt something in me to prompt me, Kendra, calm down. Kendra, love him. You know, this kind of stuff comes to me all the time, especially when we're with people that have different opinions. Hello, look at the world out there today. If we could speak up with love, it would be received much better with everyone else, but also with ourselves, because we wouldn't have to look back and say, oh, I got angry or I was prideful. Speaking of humility and pride, this is one thing that always hits me. There's not a soul in heaven with an ounce of pride or a soul in hell with an ounce of humility. Like, this is our salvation here. It's the basis of all the virtues. So walking through the day, when you start it with God, it's going to be different than when you don't. And I can speak from experience. If I start with God, I'm grateful. I start seeing God just in the physical things around me. Like, whoa, look at this house. Thank you for this house. Thank you for this running water. Thank you for the toilet. Thank you for the hot water in the shower. For those in the Exodus program, no hot water for you. But, you know, you're grateful for things that are happening that you would never pay attention to otherwise without God, because you didn't start your day with him. So I'm firmly putting my foot down and saying, we all have to spend that time, at least 15 minutes, just to, okay, Lord, guide my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. And then we have to continue to look out for him. Tune our radio, not just into Relevant Radio, but also into the God channel, so that we can receive that grace and keep asking for it. And then when we get it, so, for example, let's say you're addicted to sugar, or you're addicted to alcohol, or you're addicted to your social media, pornography, whatever your stronghold is, and we call out to God in that moment, for example, if we're faced with that temptation, and he helps us with control, he gives us that peace, and we walk away from that temptation, then it's a moment of glory to God, and let's praise and thank him and share with the people around us, if there are people around us. And hopefully, by the way, we've shared what we are working on with the people that we love the most, because there's an accountability factor with, you know, the temporal world. I mean, if I tell my husband, which I did, I told him what my number on my scale was this morning, and he goes, oh boy, right? Like, what happened over the weekend? And I said, I don't know. But immediately, I had black coffee instead of coffee with cream.
And it takes humility to admit that. Kendra, we have Thomas joining us this morning from Providence, Rhode Island. Good morning, Thomas. You're on with Kendra Von Esch.
Hi, I spoke to you a few weeks ago about the morning offering, so I clearly love this segment. I'm always listening. Thank you so much. My question today is about, so clearly with sins of temperance, and maybe not even sins, depending on the compulsory component, you know, it's very, very discouraging, and we can feel like, where do we even go? But my question was, where I know there's a lot of practical tips out there on what to do, physical steps to take. Okay, don't buy the alcohol, get an accountability partner, find some other way to discipline, practice fasting. How does one rebuild their spiritual life when, you know, struggling with the habitual sin in this area? I'd really appreciate any insight that you have.
Sure. Okay, so the spiritual life is not a choice. If we do not pray, we will not be saved. So when you don't feel like praying, do it anyway. Frequent the confessional, the reconciliation, that beautiful sacrament. It's the word cilia is in reconciliation. So it's little hairs, eyelash to eyelash with God. The more that we take advantage of the sacraments of this beautiful Catholic Church that Jesus gave us, the more protection we are going to have, the more that we are going to have the power of God coming through us to walk away from those temptations, we will also fight the spiritual war. Excuse me. So, Thomas, I don't know if you're praying your deliverance prayers when you're faced with a decision to do something or not do something. That's been something new in my journey since 2019, because we really are playing the spiritual battle. And if we don't know the weapons, then we're kind of out there in a gunfight with a knife, as I used to say. So that's where prayer is also not just sitting still for 15 minutes in mental prayer, but also calling on God's protection, the precious blood of Jesus, and making sure that we persevere in prayer no matter what. In James, the book of James, first chapter, we can get God's wisdom. He's going to generously and ungrudgingly pour it into us if we pray to him with confidence and commitment and perseverance. He's just going to shower that in us. So can you imagine having God's wisdom in you throughout the day? You will see the truth and the lies, and then be free from that sin in no time. So keep persevering in prayer. Great question.
Really appreciate it, Thomas. Thanks again. We're just about out of time, but the one thing I do know is that we need to put on the full armor of God and maybe praying Amen. To St. Michael the Archangel. That is a powerful way to put on the armor of God.
Yeah, and you can find your patron saint out there. Saint Gemma was mine for a while, and your saints may change. My confirmation saint is the little flower. I mean, how funny, because I am the opposite, complete opposite of her, right? She is so humble and so loving and so young and so innocent, and I know that that is why she's my confirmation saint. So
we'll have to leave it right there, Kendra, as always. God bless you. Thanks so much for joining us here on Morning Air. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called How to Dance in the Rain. It was a busy morning, about 8:30, when an elderly gentleman in his 80s arrived to have stitches removed from his thumb. He said he was in a hurry as he had an appointment at 9 o'clock. I took his vital signs and had him take a seat, knowing it would be over an hour before someone would be able to see him. I saw him looking at his watch and decided, since I was not busy with another patient, I'd evaluate his wound. On exam, it was well healed, so I talked to one of the doctors, got the needed supplies to remove his sutures and redress his wound. While taking care of his wound, I asked him if he had another doctor's appointment this morning, as he seemed to be in such a hurry. The gentleman told me no, that he needed to go to the nursing home to eat breakfast with his wife. I inquired as to her health. He told me that she had been there for a while and she was the victim of Alzheimer's. As we talked, I asked if she'd be upset if he was a bit late. He replied that She no longer knew who he was, and she had not recognized him in 5 years now. I was surprised and asked him, "And you still go every morning even though she doesn't know who you are?" He smiled as he patted my hand and said, "She doesn't know me, but I still know who she is." I had to hold back tears as he left. I had goosebumps on my arm and thought, that is the kind of love I want in my life. Philippians 4:12 says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want."
Another fabulous story, Corner. Thanks so much, Glenn. Be part of the 80,000 Catholics at the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis next summer. Let's show up for Jesus next July of 2024. You can learn much more about it. Get the latest info about the Eucharistic Congress by signing up at relevantradio.com/indy. That'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.